Hello, friends. This is Pastor Mike, and it is now time for us to get into the third part of the teaching on healing belongs to us. And it's actually going to be part two of Don't Give the Devil an Opportunity. I'm excited about it today, and I hope you're ready to receive from the Word of Almighty God. You know, the Word of God is how we're supposed to live by it. Jesus said, not by bread alone. Get ready. Here we go. All right, friends. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles today, turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. A very short verse of scripture Paul wrote here, but also a very powerful one. And it says here, neither give place to the devil. Now, think about that, the idea of neither giving place to the devil. You know, we have an adversary, we have a foe, we have someone who Jesus said has come to steal, kill, and destroy from our lives, and he must be resisted. He must not be given an opportunity to have entrance and access to our lives. This is what the Amplified Bible says here and how it reads in verse 27 of Ephesians 4. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. And then, of course, the easy-to-read version says, don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Now, the New Living Translation says that anger can open the door to the devil and defeat. Now, last time, we gave a bit of the history of Satan from his time as Lucifer, who led worship in heaven, to being cast down to the earth like a lightning bolt, where he has been stealing, killing, and destroying ever since. Also, you should know that every time we exercise our authority in Christ, it's like Satan is cast down again like a bolt of light, and that's how easily he is defeated. Now, we saw how Satan had five I wills in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14, where he thought he would take over possession of God's throne. We saw how God responded with five I wills of his own in Ezekiel 28. God cast Satan down to the earth, to the sides of the pit of hell. In verse 19, he said, all they that know thee among the people shall be astonished at thee. You shall be a terror, and never shall you be any more. Even in Isaiah 14:16, God said, they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake nations? You see, friends, there is a difference between how the world describes Satan as this big, notorious, evil being, and who the Bible describes him as being. This is before, of course, the coming of Christ. Since the coming of the Lord Jesus, though, the defeat that the Lord Jesus has given us over the devil and demons is an absolute defeat to him and an absolute victory for you and for me. You know, I heard it said one time that we as Christians need to see ourselves not heading toward a victory, but literally coming from a victory. Now, we saw that Jesus stripped Satan of the original keys that Adam and Eve gave him through deception and lies, and has restored the authority to us as believers in Christ. That's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, and of course in Matthew 16 and verse 18. Now, listen to this great scripture from Colossians chapter 2 and verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he, meaning Jesus, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, I want you to read this with me, if you will, verses 11 through 15 from Colossians chapter 2 in the Message Bible. Now, verse 11 starts out like this: entering into this fullness is not something you figure out or achieve. It's not a matter of being circumcised or keeping a long list of laws. No, you're already in insiders, not through some secretive initiation rite, but rather through what Christ has already gone through for you, destroying the power of sin. Verse 12, if it's an initiation ritual you're after you've already been through it by submitting to baptism. Going under the water was a burial of your old life. Coming up out of it was a resurrection, God raising you from the dead as he did Christ. Verse 13, when you were stuck in your old sin-dead life, you were incapable of responding to God. God brought you alive right along with Christ. Think of it, all sins forgiven. And then verse 14, the slate wiped clean, that old arrest warrant canceled and nailed to Christ's cross. And this is what I wanted to get to in verse number 15, where it says Jesus stripped all the spiritual tyrants in the universe of their sham authority at the cross and marched them naked through the streets. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, I like that idea that Satan has been marched naked through the streets. His shame is being shown to the world. Praise God. But it's still odd that many believe wrongly about the devil and his ability to hurt and harm them. We need to have a biblical perspective of Satan's utter defeat and the fact that God has placed him under our feet in a humiliating way. We must remember that since Satan has been stripped of all his authority, that he still retains his ability. Satan's problem is, while he has ability, is that he does not have any authority to use his ability to steal, kill, and destroy. We saw in our last lesson about not giving the devil an opportunity that in John 8:44, Satan has been murdering people with his lies by getting them to turn their personal authority over to him, whereby he now has the right to afflict their lives, where he can steal, kill, and destroy from them. The Apostle Paul clearly showed us that this is a revelation we need to pray for, where we need our spiritual eyes open to see Satan's defeat and superior position over him in Christ Jesus. Listen to this from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 22. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, Paul writes, and your love unto all the saints, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now, you and I, we can accept the concept that Satan and his imps are under our feet, but it must become a true revelation to us through both prayer and the study of the scriptures. That prayer that Paul prayed there is an incredible prayer that you and I need to pray on a regular basis. Now, note the Apostle Paul had limited writings to study to glean this understanding and was himself in the process of writing letters to the churches that had become part of canonized scripture that came by divine revelation that was downloaded to his spirit. Galatians 1, 11 through 12 tells us in verse 11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it from man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. If you study Galatians there in the first chapter and into the second chapter, you'll note that Paul spent 3 years alone with the Lord, where he received the download of his revelations from God. Then he came to Jerusalem and spent 15 days with Peter and James, sharing and submitting these revelations he had been receiving in Galatians 1, verses 11 through 24. He then spent another 14 years seeking God for a total of 17 years. It was then that he returned to Jerusalem to submit to those of reputation the revelations he had been preaching about the grace of God there in Galatians 2, verses 1 and 2. You see, revelations of Jesus Christ and the kingdom of God are very dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Satan hates it so much that he will do whatever he can do to hinder people from receiving these revelations and sharing them. That's why Paul wrote about his own sufferings in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. He said, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory." He said, "I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord." But then you skip down to verse 7, and it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." Now, Satan has always fought the spirit of wisdom and revelation that Paul received and urged us to pray for in Ephesians 1. He is a master distractor who tries to get his focus on natural things more than the things of the Spirit of God based on his word. In John 14 and verse 30, Jesus said, "Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." Now it says in the Amplified Bible, "I will not talk with you much more, for the prince, the evil genius, ruler of the world is coming," speaking of Christ's suffering and passion. "And he has no claim on me," Jesus said. "He has nothing in common with me. There is nothing in me that belongs to him, and he has no power over me." The picture here is that of a handle that the enemy can grab a hold of, an inroad in a sense, or an area that gives access to Satan to latch onto in our lives. See, this takes us back to Ephesians 4:27. Don't give the devil a chance. Don't give him an opportunity. Don't give him a place, glory to God. Leave no such room or foothold for the devil. Give no opportunity to him. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. The New Living Translation says again that anger can open the door to the devil and to defeat. Now, Jesus said in John 12, "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this hour or this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name." Then came there a voice from heaven saying, "I have both glorified it and will glorify it again." Here God was speaking audibly, but due to the hardness of the people's heart, they interpreted it as thunder. The people, therefore, that stood by, verse 29, and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake unto him." Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And if I," oh, I love it, "if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Now, verse 32 is probably a great verse of misunderstanding among many Christians. How has this verse been misunderstood? Many have thought Jesus was saying, if you would preach him, worship him, lift him up in praise, that by his Spirit he would draw all men, which is in italics, meaning it was added by the translators. Clearly, Jesus was saying he would draw all the judgment and curse to himself. This Jesus did for you and for me. He did it on our behalf. So it's not saying here, if I be lifted up in worship, if I be lifted up in praise, if I be lifted up, you know, in preaching and things like that. I'll draw men to me. I mean, that's how that verse has been looked at. But the truth of the matter is when Jesus said, if I be lifted up, speaking about the lifting up on the cross, he would literally draw all, and the word men is in italics, so it wasn't part of the original manuscript. I would draw all, meaning he would draw all the curse and all the judgment that should have come to you and to me, but he would do it for us, glory to God. This he said, that's why verse 33 goes on to say, this he said, signifying what death he should die. Now, verse 33 confirms that this has to do with Jesus' death and drawing all judgment to himself. So here's a question. So what types of handles does the devil try to find in our lives to hold on to? See, Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, I'm not going to read all of it here, but it gives us insight into how we can avoid giving Satan a place or a thing to latch into. He says here in verse 17, this I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Verse 18 says, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now the word lasciviousness here is the word that means unbridled lust, excess, licentiousness, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, and even insolence. Now, I said I wasn't going to read all of these verses, but I'm already into it. Let me finish reading these verses here down to verse number 32. And look what it says here. But you, meaning the believer, have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you now put off concerning the former conversation or manner of life, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Boy, there's a lot you could preach just about those couple of verses right there. Being renewed in the spirit of your mind, putting on the new man, taking what's on the inside and putting it on the outside. You see, you have to recognize today that you are a spirit. You have a soul and you live in a body. Your soul being your mind, your will, your emotions, and you are a three-part being. You are a human trinity in the sense that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You are a trinity of spirit, soul, and body. Glory to God. And if you put on that new man, the Bible said, which is created in righteousness, take it from the inside and begin to put it on the outside, that you would have it created in true holiness, in righteousness and true holiness. Meaning that if there's a true holiness, there's a false holiness. And the church world has been caught up in a false kind of holiness. And I'm telling you, God wants us to put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Verse 25 goes on to say, wherefore put away lying. Speak every man the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Verse 27. And here we come back to where we began. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And notice this, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. Now, I've given you a lot here in this short time that we've been going over the Word of God here, but I'm going to say something to you. You want to not give place to the enemy? You want to not give the devil an opportunity? Then these are keys to how you can and should be living by the grace of God on the inside for you. And glory to God, friend, you're not heading toward a victory. You are coming from a victory, and you are in a superior position where the devil has been put under your feet, and you are in a place of preeminence, seated with Christ in heavenly places. Glory to God. Hey, this is Pastor Mike Burns, and I'm coming to you over this message as audio on our website, and I pray that this message on healing belongs to us. Don't give the devil an opportunity. Part two, this is saying to you and I that we don't have to allow the enemy to have access or entrance into our life on any way. Listen, thank you for being with me today. If you'd like to support us, scroll on down on this website to the giving section, and I'm going to ask you if you'd prayerfully consider becoming one of our partners. And you can do that by making a commitment to do a monthly gift, or maybe be bi-monthly. It's up to you. And make it a recurring gift. Or if you like, you could just give a one-time offering, and we would gladly receive that. Don't also forget to sign up for our digital email newsletter through Constant Contact. You'll see a place to put your address, an email address in there, and then you'll be on our mailing list to receive that encouraging newsletter. Praise God. Listen, if you'd like to give by text, you could text the words MJBMIN, that's MJBMIN, to 45777, and then follow the prompts as you'll be texted back with a link, and then you'll also be able to make your gift and giving information available to us, which will be safe and secure, and you can always go back and change those settings anytime you choose. Thank you again for being with me today. And there are more messages here for you to listen to. They'll be an encouragement to you. Be sure and feed on them, and the Word of God will do its work and make every change necessary in your life today. I love you. God loves you. In Jesus' name, you have a wonderful day.